welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Turn the Page. I'm your host today, Jen, and I am joined by a comics creator who has written a work that I have really just been obsessed with the past week. It is so much fun, and I am so excited to talk about it. Hello, welcome to the show. Could I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
Hello, my name is Luke Milton. I'm here in Australia, and I'm talking about my debut graphic novel, Animals Rule This Land.
It's so much fun, and I have so many questions about it, especially its origins, because I feel like it reminded me of a game I played when the pandemic was
Yeah, I think a game that we all played during the pandemic. I think that was the only thing anybody was doing.
Yeah, it was a universal experience. So could you tell us a little bit about your journey toward this graphic novel? When did you start it, and sort of what was your process?
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. And as we alluded to, I think we can say it, like everyone was playing Animal Crossing. And I think we were all experiencing different types of isolation. And I started to think about, even though that game has this very sort of cute exterior, I think there's still something like quite lonely about it as you trudge around that world doing things with animals you don't really connect with in any sort of proper way. And just the absence of other humans and the way that when you do have another human come in, it's like the animals are like the worst border control ever. Like they really put the visitors through their paces, and I feel like you have to do a lot of paperwork and before someone can come in and visit. So I started to think, what would it be like if you were really in that situation? So I started to construct this sort of, I guess, post-apocalyptic dystopian world where after a meteor shower, a guy wakes up and he's the only human alive on in a town full of freshly evolved animals. And they're all saying, look, everything's fine. It's okay. Humanity's okay. We're going to take care of things. We're going to look after you. We need your help. You need our help. Let's be friends. But you have this feeling that not everything's quite right and something sinister is going on beneath the surface that he has to uncover.
It is, oh my gosh, it's such a fun story. And I'm really interested in how it, you know, it melds some of the, like the visual bits of Animal Crossing with like this real, like classic sort of alt comic style vibe. So could you talk about like your visual influences and sort of, how you designed the world? Like what did you do to shift it from like the cutesiness of the game to the horror of a...
Yeah, because I didn't want to do like I don't consider it as a parody. I think like it's its own thing. And there's certainly no one-for-one kind of parody with the characters or the situation. This guy does not have a mortgage that he needs to pay off to a raccoon or anything like that. There's no characters like that in it. But yeah, I guess I was really influenced by underground comics and alternative comics. There's something that really appealed to me when I was younger. And I guess my sort of favorites are those sort of late 90s Fantagraphics books that were coming out, things like Peter Bagg's Hate and Daniel Clowes's 8-Ball are probably the ones that I love the most. But there was a real explosion as well around that time where everybody was able to do a black and white independent comic after Ninja Turtles hit big. And I was living in Canberra at the time, which is the capital of Australia, but a very small city with only like a couple of comic shops. And you would find these really subversive, weird, off-putting but appealing at the same time comics. And I think they were always like real treasures. And you had to, pre-internet, you sort of had to piece together the history and relationships between all these artists and sort of what was happening. So Yeah, that's definitely had an effect on me, and I have been told, even quite recently on Instagram, that my work is unsettling and off-putting to look at. So I'm going to just wear that as a badge of honor, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, I'd put that on my business card. That's great. I'm really curious about how the other things that you have done have maybe also influenced your comics work, because I know that you've done a lot of work in theater as well. And I'm curious, does like your work in theater give any unique perspectives to your comics, or do you feel like that shapes your comics process at all?
I think primarily I'm a writer, and writing's the thing that I've studied and I'm really interested in. So I did do 5 years essentially of writing at university, and it was the writing that got me interested in theatre as opposed to any other aspect. I actually went in to do film, but what I discovered was I love the immediacy of theatre, and you just had a lot more freedom. I think in film, we were writing 5 minute films, which we were making over a 5 week period, and then 20 people in a class would see it. Whereas in theater, you could do a run of shows and people would watch them, and they could be quite substantial works. So very, very interested in structure and storytelling and character and dialogue. And I think that's the strength of the book. I hope that's the strength of the book, is that it is something that has a clear middle, beginning, middle, end, and I think hopefully all ties together in a pretty satisfying way.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's a really interesting perspective because it is a very well-structured story. And the characters are great too, because all of the animal characters that populate this world are, they're all slightly aggressive, but they also have their own weird hang-ups and obsessions and like things when they're interacting with the human character. And so I'm curious about how you balance the humor that is like on display throughout the comic and the horror, because it is a post-apocalyptic thing, as you say, and it is like has dark undertones. So when you are structuring a story, how do you balance humor and the darker bits? Like, do you use them to create tension, or how do you navigate that balance?
I think when I start to come up with the story, I have ideas of little sequences that I want to do, like the bit where the dog kidnaps him and wants him to program his microwave, which he thinks is a video game console, was something I had really early on that I wanted to do. And then I think also I had an idea of what the real story, what was going on with the motivation of the animals and what was happening underneath. And you just sort of mix those things together. But what I really love it is when you those happy accidents happen, where you do a scene early on and you think, this is just great comedically, this works, it tells us about the characters, but then later on it actually informs something that you go, oh, I can call back to that in a way, and that can actually advance the plot in a way. And I think the other thing as well is not being precious about the characters, although I would love, something like this to be, like anyone, I would love a TV series or whatever, but this isn't a TV series. So I could kill whatever character at any time and really mess with expectations. And I think, there are characters that I love in that book that don't make it to the end. But for me, that was part of the horror, where you having these light moments, but then suddenly reminded that there's actually a lot of at stake for these characters.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think it's easy to think of humor as perhaps undermining horror, but it can actually really enhance it, I think, because it can distract you for a second while something darker creeps up on you. And it can like alleviate tension after like a scary scene. I'm just really interested in how those two things work together because they're both like kind of about timing, and playing
Yeah,
expectations.
but I think, people, and this is the same for characters, if you're, drawing upon people, even if, they are animals in this case, are funny. Like, you think, if I'm in a situation with a group of people that I know really well, or maybe even someone, even like in a work situation or something, when you're suddenly around people that you wouldn't normally hang out with, your reaction in these situations is probably going to have a degree of humor there. You know, that's, and I think a lot of horror, straight horror, is written really straight, and everybody's really just sort of laser focused on what's happening and really serious all the time. And that's just not my experience when hanging around people and then being around people. So I tend to like I structure it out. I know where everything has to go, but then I let the characters just play within that. And sometimes, like, I'm not planning to dispatch a character or make a major change to a character, but that just seems like the right thing to do. And you think, well, why not do it? Like, if that's gonna have the most value to the story, why not? Yeah, just take that chance, and I'd like to escalate things.
Yes. Yeah, it escalates really beautifully. I'd love to talk about some of the ways that you use the animals to explore like very human foibles and flaws. In particular, I'm thinking about Lulabelle and her bread obsession because it's like it
Yeah.
plays on like very human sort of tendencies towards wanting to do things that are bad for you and having vices, but it's also very inherently like a duck characteristic, you know, like it just plays
Yeah.
like the human and the animal aspects well. So, yeah, like what do you feel like you were exploring about humanity through the animals?
Yeah, I think maybe it's about maybe I'm only thinking about this now, but I think it's in there. Like, I think it's about how we're all very instinct-based, and we'll ultimately all that matters, despite all the comforts and rituals and things that we sort of build around ourselves in everyday life, really just that base survival instinct and those things that you want and you want now are what drives us. And I think for the human character there, the animals, through their eyes, we see how a lot of the things that he takes for granted in life are actually quite silly and quite unnecessary. And we see how he doesn't cope very well once that structure kind of is taken away from him. And then I think at the same time, there's this other level where at the beginning, you're seeing animals wearing clothes and holding clipboards and things and saying, "Look, we're people just like you." But he begins to see that they can't fight their instincts, like their animal behavior is coming through in those times where he observes things that he wasn't supposed to see, and realizes that they are animals too, and he's becoming more sort of animalistic as well, I guess, as it goes through. But I guess, yeah, they're all motivated by, like, Lulabelle just does what she wants. The dog Gravy is totally motivated by whatever whim he has at the time, no matter what the consequences are. So I like that kind of organized chaos.
Yes. Yeah, I love organized chaos too, and that's a really great way to explain yeah, the interactions with all the characters, and I think like how the horror is structured because he's just being assaulted by these weird demands and very strange creatures. It's like my favorite characters, I think, were the guinea pigs who were like really desperate to assimilate into human
Yes,
society
yeah.
and keep failing. Did you have any characters who like were an especial delight to draw or who you really enjoyed writing?
The like worst characters are always the most fun to write, like in terms of their behavior. So I loved writing the dog Gravy, because I think even just when his little face pops up over the fence the first time, you know that it's not going to end well, like that something horrible's going to happen there. And he's so random, and I have a lot of fun playing around with where he can go and what his viewpoint is. So, like, you have ideas about what's actually going to happen, but then I think, like, minor spoiler, he steals a car at one point, and that idea where he decides he loves the car so much that he's going to rip out the brakes because they're not going to need it anymore. They're just going to need the accelerator because they're going to drive around forever and they're going to hunt for food through the windows of the car using homemade spears, is just him be like just really committing to an idea that he could just as easily throw away soon after.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's really great to see them like just walking around with like zero attention to consequences, because they've just gained all this knowledge really quickly, like through this apocalyptic process. Yeah, it's just so much fun. And I'm wondering, like, do you have any more graphic novels in you? Are you going to keep working in this space?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now that's something I definitely want to do. Very, very keen to do more books if people will have me. I have written another book, which is a comedy science fiction book called He Lost His Keys in Space, about the Earth's worst ambassador ever, who returns from a 12-year mission only to discover that he lost his keys somewhere along the way, and he has to go back and revisit all the planets he went to and see the consequences of all his actions after a period away. And I'm about 80% through a third book, script-wise. And I'm really happy with that, how that script shapes up. The keys one is quite episodic, but it does all tie together. I sort of feel like it's like a TV series in comic book format, whereas the other one's more of a, it's still like a dark comedy, but more of a kind of tightly constructed thriller in the way that I hope Animals is. So yeah, I would love the opportunity to have all those happen and to be able to share them. So hopefully this is the start of something, and that would just be, yeah, amazing. I would love to. I've got lots of stories I'd love to tell.
Nice. Yeah, I'm curious actually, because I know you've also worked in like the webcomic kind of space too, right? Doing serialized stuff.
Yeah, I've done bits and pieces. I worked on a comic called Glorious Bounty with a Perth artist called Grug, who did the art, and I just wrote it, which is something else I'm kind of interested in as well. I love writing it, and I write quite quickly, and that's where a lot of my experience is. So I would also love to, like, I'd love to do something crazy, like write a issue of Howard the Duck for Marvel or something like that. I think that would be amazing. So yeah, I do like the writing, and that was something, yeah, where we did a series about called Glorious Bounty, about some very terrible bounty hunters. That was a sci-fi thing as well, and it was just that idea of looking at those side characters in Star Wars, the ones that have action figures and merchandise, but they're on screen for about a second, and you just look and you think, what is this lizard guy and a robot and this other weird bug guy, like, what are they talk about when they're sitting on the ship on the way to a mission? Like, what are these, like, and that guy that looks like he's got toilet paper wrapped around his head, it's like, what is their deal, and how do they what's their domestic life like? So they're the sorts of questions that I'm always really interested in sort of projecting on.
That's awesome. Did you find one form to be more challenging than the other, like writing a structuring a whole graphic novel versus writing something like ongoing?
No, not really. I think it's a similar sort of thing. And I played around when I was doing theater, I played around with formats a lot as well. Like, one of the independent theaters in Perth here started to do 3 week seasons. And I thought, wouldn't it be great, rather than do the same show for 3 weeks, I'm going to take these characters and I'm going to give you a different show each week. So you come back for 3 weeks and you get to see these characters develop over time. And we do a sort of essentially like a 6-episode TV show is what we tried to do. So we had 2 episodes a week for, so I've been very interested in developing characters and running with characters. And I think even with Animals, there's a lot of mileage in those characters still. Like, there's and a lot of new characters that could very easily exist in that world. So I do have a concept for not like a direct sequel, but kind of a sort of follow-up, which expands that world a bit. But I don't want to get ahead of myself at this stage. I think because nobody might, maybe no one wants to read it. I don't know. They do. But yeah, I think there's a lot of scope with all these characters, all these stories to kind of spin off in interesting ways and tell different parts of it.
I think so too. And I'm very excited to read what you do next. And I hope that you will consider coming back to the show to talk about those
Oh, I would
as well.
absolutely love to.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been really great.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. Thank you.
No problem. Listeners, it's your turn. Please check out Animals Rule This Land. By the time that you hear this, it will be out in the world. So go to your favorite comic book store or independent bookstore or library, if you like to go to libraries, and check it out. I think you'll really like it, especially, you spent the pandemic like we did. And other reasons as well. There's so many reasons to love it. Thank you so much for joining us, listeners. It is now time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.